Because sometimes you just, look, you just got to talk with the dudes, okay? Sometimes dudes just got to talk. And then girls, sometimes girls just got to talk, okay? So we're going to have our panel of girls up here, panel of dudes next week, and it'll be really good. And then the week after, we are going to teach you guys, we're going to show you guys during part of the service how to be a lady, how to be a gentleman. Yeah, if you don't, look, no, just trust me, it'll be good. Look, if you don't know how to tie a tie, you're going to learn how to tie a tie, okay? So let's just say that. So that way you guys get a job. Anyway, hey, let's wrap this up. So everybody pay attention, because I want to talk real quick. I want to get serious right now, if that's okay. Can I get serious real quick? Because, you know, at the very beginning, I made this statement. You can do life your way, or you could do life God's way. When you do life your way, you get your best. But when you do life God's way, you get His best. Now, God made us and God designed us for His best. So when life doesn't work out, oftentimes that means we're doing it the wrong way. The question is, which way are you doing life? You know, are you living life for you, or are you living life for God? Are you living life for somebody else? Remember, we even said that this way is there's a void, a hole in all of our hearts that only God can fill. And it'll never be filled if you try to fill it with something other than God. So stop trying. The Bible says that Jesus is standing at the door of our heart and knocking. He says, I'm waiting for you to let me in. Everybody here, not just the big ones, but the little donuts too over there, and some refrescos, and then we're gonna get into some Q&A, because tonight we're gonna talk about love. That's right, love. Love. I love love. Don't you love love? Love. You love to love food. You know what? Some people love the boo. Other people love they food, you know, and sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's okay because, you know, a ham sandwich can be just as comforting sometimes, especially if you put a little bit of like Italian dressing on it. That's a good sandwich right there. Italian dressing, croutons on the side. That's right. Jesus' name. All right. Hey, all right, listen up. Let's go and pray. We'll jump into the word today. So let us pray. Ready, set, go. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for this word. God, I thank you, Lord, because this book that you have given to us, God, you've saved it for thousands of years. God, it's not out of style. It's not old fashioned. It's the truth. And God, we thank you that the truth never is old fashioned. It simply is. So God, tonight, help us to see what this book tells about love. God, help us to see what this book says about the way we ought to treat each other, in the way we ought to treat ourselves. God, look, everybody out there is looking for something. Nobody wants to find themselves alone. So, Father, help us see what it means to be somebody that has somebody. God, Lord, whether it's on our radar or whether it's something that we want years down the road, or God, maybe it's for some of us in this place that we're right in the middle of a relationship as it stands today. God, Lord, help us to see what it is that you need us to know so that we can do this thing in such a way that honors you and blesses us. So, Father God, we just give you our ears tonight. Challenge us. God, change the way we think. And God, reaffirm, make stronger the thoughts that we already have about you that are right and godly. So, Father, we give you this part of our lives today, and we ask that you would get up all in this business. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Look, man. Look. This is an interesting subject because everybody needs somebody. You know, there's very few people that are going to make it through life on their own. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it can. You know, matter of fact, I mean, that's one of the things that God talks about is, you know, some people that they're fully fine being all by themselves, that is okay. But the majority of us in this place will eventually want to be with somebody, because don't you need somebody to love you? Don't you want somebody to love. You guys don't get that? That's an old song. Never mind. Whatever. But here's the thing. With anything in life, whether it's school, whether it's your parents, whether it's your future, what college you go to, you know, the truth of the matter is this, is that God cares about it all. Now, you could do this your way, or you could do this God's way. You know, and the way it is with anything and everything, if you do it your way, you get your best. But if you do it God's way, you get His best. So if you're thinking to yourself, Pastor Richard, I don't want none of this mess. I don't need a boy. I don't need a man. Then that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Because if you don't want it right now, then one day will come the time, come to pass, that you will find a fly fella that catches your eye. And you got to be ready. Look, gentlemen. I know you think you're tough. I know you think you're hot stuff, but you know in the middle of the night when your heart is broken, you got mocos coming down your lip, you got tears, you will put on that sad song, and you will think, oh, baby, why'd you gotta go? Why you gotta do me so wrong, baby? Oh. Your mom banged the door. What's going on in there? Oh, nothing, mama. Nothing. I'm just watching a sad show, mama. Oh, I lost a Call of Duty. It's so hard, mama. Oh. You ain't tough. Look, I know you're not tough. Dude, look. Nothing can break a man down faster than a woman. Brother, say amen. All the men in the house say amen. Some girl do you wrong. Nothing make a man fight faster than a woman. I beat up family members because of a woman. Dang. Right? Ladies, you're crazy. Ladies, you're crazy. No, you are. And that's okay. That's okay. No, I'm not going to get twisted. Don't worry. Because dudes, look, ladies may be crazy, but dudes are just dumb sometimes. Dudes are dumb. Ladies are crazy. Dudes are dumb. Generally speaking, I'm not trying to put anybody in the category here. I'm just saying, some guys are crazy. But no girls are dumb. The girls are never dumb. Just crazy. So let's talk. Let's talk. You see, if you go back to the beginning, you know, God does a lot of the important stuff at the very beginning of the book. You know what I'm saying? Genesis, you know, God, he says, let there be light and let there be giraffes. Oh, and mountains and trees too. And then God says, the greatest thing I'm going to do on the final day that I'm going to be making and create stuff, the thing that I'm going to say it is very good is people. I'm going to make a dude. And then he says, oh, this guy's cool. He's going to get a job. He's going to name all the animals, the first zoologist, the first scientist in all of creation, Adam. And he's like, bam, that's an animal. And boom, that's an animal over there. Oh, yeah, and that animal's name is Johnny right over there. And then all of a sudden, Adam sees, oh, all these animals, they're over there. They're cuddling. They have their little special one, the squirrels and the zebra. But where's my special one? Adam gets sad. Oh. And God says to himself, oh, this is not good. This is not good. And that's really sad because everything else he said was really good. But he says, this is Genesis 2. He says, this is not good. So what does he do? Knocks Adam out. Just punch the fool. I imagine in my head that's what happened. And, you know, God takes from man, part of himself and makes woman. And then he says, oh, this is very good. You know, this is interesting because it makes sense to one day make that decision to where girls have cooties, ew. Oh, wait, girls have cooties. I want some cooties, you know? And you go from that to change, right? You think, oh, you know, ew to, oh, And that's it's a very natural thing. It's a very, very natural thing to want to be in a relationship. So let's talk. Because, see, A relationship is neither good nor bad. Catch this. A relationship is neither good nor bad in and of itself. Kind of like fire. Fire is neither good nor bad. If you can control the fire, oh, that fire is good. That fire will make you a hamburger. That fire will make you a hot dog. That fire will make your house warm. But a fire that is out of control is very, very bad. It can burn you. It can hurt you. It can scald you. You know, it can create havoc, burn down an entire forest with a single spark. It's neither good nor bad. It's whether it's controlled or not. See, a relationship is good or bad based on how you conduct the relationship. See, because if you were to take any two people, they're both called of God. They're both made in God's image. But the problem is this, is if he conducts himself poorly, then it's a bad relationship. If she acts in a way that is unbecoming of a woman of God, well, then you have a bad relationship. It's not because the relationship is bad. It's because the people refuse to act the way God wants them to act. So the question is are you ready? Pastor Richard, I already got a girlfriend. I don't care. Just because you got a girlfriend doesn't mean you're ready for a girlfriend. Right? Look, how many people you seen driving down the street stupid? They have a license, but they still drive stupid. Somebody need to take that license away. Right? And that's what happens. You know, somebody drives drunk. They showed, I have a license, but I'm too dumb to deserve it. Please take it away. That's what happens. In a sense, is if you find yourself in 1, 2, 3, 4 bad relationships, I would question whether you are ready. Pastor Richard, that's rude. I don't care. I would question whether you are ready to have the privilege of being called a boo, a bae, a one and only, a boyfriend, or a girlfriend. No D. See, so the bottom line is this, is what, stay with me here. What keeps a person, what makes a person ready? What makes a person ready to jump into a relationship? Like, you know, I mean, what are the qualifications? How do you know, and maybe you are in a relationship, right? Maybe you have a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend, whatever the case is, and maybe you're thinking, you know, okay, Pastor Richard, you're kind of trying to blow me up here, so what's the deal? Well, how do you know if you're ready to either stay in or to continue in or to pursue a relationship? Maybe your heart's been broken. How do you know when you're ready to jump back into this? Because sometimes people get their heart broken, and they, you know, something bad happens, and they just swear off. I never. All men are. All girls are. They're all. Ain't none of them loyal. You know. And we. How do you know when you're ready to jump back into this thing, to get into it? Well, you really have to be able to ask yourself some questions, and you have to be honest. You really got to ask yourself, why the heck am I even looking for a relationship? This is probably the most important question you can ask yourself. Why am I in a relationship? Why am I looking for a relationship? Because the why of anything in your life will tell you whether or not you ought to be doing it. The why will always give you the yes or the no. The why will always give you the yes or the no. See, because cute ain't good enough an answer. Fine, curvy, the dude got money. Look, obviously these questions are not good. These answers to that question are not good enough. And the bottom line is the why will always lead you to that. See, man was alone. He was doing good. He was just working his job, his 9 to 5. He was chilling with God. And all of a sudden, he felt in himself. He said, the zebra got a wife. Why ain't I got a wife, right? And all of a sudden, there was something missing from his life. He could not achieve his potential in life. He couldn't be all he could be until he had his partner to help him get there. Oh, that's kind of cute, you think about it, right? See, He had a reason why he needed somebody. And if you're just looking to pass time, to have fun, to kind of see what happens, look, my friend, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. There's a verse in Philippians 2:3. It says this, Philippians 2:3, the Bible says, Go ahead, put it up there. Philippians 2:3. Oh, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. See, if you're looking for a relationship to fulfill your need, to make you feel better about yourself, to make yourself look better, to make yourself feel more grown up. I remember the first time I ever asked a girl out was in sixth grade, and I thought to myself, oh, well, this is really dumb, obviously, because remember when I was in sixth grade. But I remember thinking to myself, oh, I'm gonna ask this girl out because my younger brother, who was in fifth grade, had a girlfriend. I don't know what a relationship looks like in fifth grade, other than like, hey, let's go swing on the monkey bars during recess. But I remember saying to myself, I gotta ask this girl. I remember she had one of those little top ponytails. And they kind of just this nice little cascade down there. She's kind of not really cute, but just kind of cute. And I asked her out, and of course she said no. Whatever. I don't even care. She wasn't even cute. That's okay. But I remember the reason I asked was because I thought, you know what? I'm getting older. It's about time I get a girlfriend. That's the dumbest reason in the world to get a girlfriend, because I'm old. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. The dumbest reason in the world. Thank you for affirming that's the dumbest reason in the world. I chose to try to. Thank you, Pastor Joe. That's enough. Get out of my message. You know, sometimes we make these decisions. No show of hands, but some people say, oh, well, they asked me out, so why not? That's a dumb reason. And if that is why you're in your current relationship, don't admit it right now. Wait a day or two and then dump them. We sometimes we feel guilty. I remember Pastor Michelle, she's told this story before, but one time she dated a boy just because she felt bad for him. That's a bet. And then she dumped him like 2 hours later. It was totally jacked up. She's crazy. And I got hurt. We do stupid things for stupid reasons. Sometimes we end up saying yes or looking for relationships to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. Sometimes all we want is somebody else to like us because we don't even like ourselves. You know, if you find yourself dating person after person after person, you need to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I not okay being alone? Because if you are not okay being alone, you will never be okay with somebody else. Look, if you don't even like yourself, why are you trying to get somebody else to like you? You need to learn how to love yourself. Because if God loves you, then obviously there's something inside of you that's lovable. And you need to wait until you're convinced and you see what God sees inside of you. And then your why of why you need a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever the case is, will be the right answer. So stop trying to prove that you are worthy of love by chasing relationships. By trying to, you know, prove in the locker room how many girls you've been with. Look, bro, you're compensating. You're trying to compensate for the fact that you have a problem with yourself and you don't like what you see in the mirror. So stop it. Be alone, just you and Jesus. Look, Adam was perfectly fine doing what he was doing. He didn't need Eve to complete him because he was already complete. He wasn't incomplete until God took the rib out of him. Brother didn't need anything else until God said, there's something greater we can do here. Why? Because if it's selfish ambition and conceit, if it's to please yourself, your why is the wrong why. You need to guard your heart in these things. You see, in your heart, there's a void that only God can fill. So don't try to put a boy or a girl in that void. But see, in the same way, there's a need in your life that only another person can fill. The problem happens is when you get those two twisted. You try to put the man where God belongs and God where the man belongs. You try to put the woman where God belongs and God where the woman belongs. See, Adam had a need. He needed somebody to get to his destiny. But he already had God in the right place. Don't get it twisted to where you try to make a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a relationship, a husband, a wife one day fill those place of God. See, a relationship would never give you purpose. A relationship, a boy, a girl will never give you purpose. But if you find the right one, they'll help you get to your purpose. You see, God gives you purpose. And one day when you find that person, when God brings you that person will help take you to the purpose that God put inside of you. That's how you know you found the right one. Because they'll take you to the purpose God put inside of you. Don't get it twisted and don't get it backwards. Because if you do, you end up all jacked up. See, that's the way it should be. See, secondly is this, is you got to ask yourself, why am I looking? Then you got to ask yourself, okay. Now, what is God over everything? Because if God is not over everything in your life, then you are not ready. See, that's what we're talking about, this last thing. Is there's a place that only God can fill in your life. And no amount of drugs, no amount of popularity, no amount of money will ever fill. No amount of sex, no amount of experiences, no amount of relationships or love that someone else, no one else will ever fill that. That means that God has to be over everything. There's this crazy verse. It's a rude verse. It's just a rude verse in the Bible. God just is so blunt, he's rude. And Jesus says, go ahead and put it up there in Luke 25, it says, Jesus says, look, if you want to follow me, you need to hate your mom, your dad, your auntie, your uncle, your brother, your sister, even your little puppy dog too. You got to hate them all compared to the way you love me. That's rude, Pastor Richard. I know. Now, God's not asking for you to go home and cuss at your mom. Mom, Jesus wants me to hate you. So, you, mom. That's not what God's saying. That is not what God's saying. But God's saying your love for me should be so big that nobody else can come close. God does not want you to hate your little brother, even though you really want to. But Jesus says, he says in Luke 24, verse 25, 27, he says, you know, if you were to compare your love for me to compare your love to somebody else, I should be so far ahead, it's not even funny. God before all else. And there's this verse in Deuteronomy 5, so maybe you've heard of it. It's called one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Big Ten? It says, have no other gods before me. Anything that comes before God is a god. Anything that comes before God is something that you worship in your life. No other gods, no girlfriend gods, no boyfriend gods, no booty call gods, none of that kind of stuff. Don't put anything, no experience, no one night stand, none of that kind of stuff. None of those things should come before God because they'll never satisfy like God does. You see, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, that means that you gave him everything. And if you gave him everything, that means you gave him your relationships, the way you treat women. You gave him the way you treat men. You gave him the way you treat other people. When you said, God, I want you to save me. I want to be called a Christian. I want to go to heaven. When you said, I want to be somebody that follows Jesus, what you said is this, is you said, God, you know more than me, which seems like a reasonable thing to say. You said, God, you know more than me. So I'm going to look to you for my answers. God, if you say it and I don't agree with it, well, God, that means I'm wrong. Right? I mean, I read things in the Bible all the time and I don't agree with them. And I'm the pastor. I'm like, I don't like that. God, I don't like that sentence in the book. But that's my problem, not God's problem. Right? So if there's something God says about the way you look at yourself, the way you look at other people, the way you look at things on the internet, if God has something to say about those things and it's different than what you're doing or the way you feel, well, then God's right. That's what it means to make God the Lord, right? God, we're going to do this thing your way, not my way. So is God over all things? Is God before everything else? See, if you can't say no to other people and yes to God, then you may not be ready. If you can't control yourself, you may not be ready. You need a love triangle. You do. You need a love triangle. Number one, because I love triangles. Number two is because if there's not a third person involved in your relationship, you're in trouble. That third person being God, of course. Nothing weird. But if you and the person you love are both going towards God, then you're going in the same direction and you're going to get closer. But if you and the person you love or the person you're chasing, the person you're pursuing, if you're going after God and they're going after something else, then you're going to go in two different directions. But if you're both going towards the same person, then you guys will naturally get closer to each other as you get closer to God. See, that's what happens when you put God first. A divided purpose divides people. If your purposes are divided, then you're going to go in two different directions. Look, if she wants to live in Massachusetts and you love Laguna Beach, I'm going to tell you, somebody's going to be unhappy or you're going to have a very big phone bill. You know what I'm saying? Divided purposes drive people apart. That's the reason. I remember when I was a junior in high school, I was in a relationship for 3 years. And it just, every day, every month, you know, she stopped going to church. She stopped doing all these things. And I loved her dearly. I know, because I cried for like 2 weeks afterwards. And then she tried to kill me with her car. But that was a long story. Long story. Long story. Guys are dumb. Girls are crazy. But she had stopped pursuing God. And I knew the purpose God put in my heart. And if I was to stay with her, I would have to either give up my purpose and take hers, or she would have to give up her purpose, living, you know, partying, doing all these things, and have to take up mine. And we were not going to change, because I was 100% for Jesus, and she was 100% for other things. So I dumped her, and then I cried for 2 weeks. And she tried to kill me. And then I got better. Here I am. I don't know where she is. I still pray for her. So you have to have God as your common purpose. And this is where people get twisted too. Because see, you find somebody and you think, oh, they go to church. Oh, they like to sing songs in church. Oh, I love Jesus. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you find this person in church and you think, oh, this is going to be wonderful because my mom likes her and I like her. And then you get together and then all of a sudden you realize that life sucks. And then you lose all your friends because you like stop hanging out with them. And then, like, you know, you find your own table at lunch to sit at and nobody else is there. And, like, the whole day consists of you, like, staring at each other. And then when you get home, you start texting each other. And then, you know, you stop doing the things you usually do because, you know, her. Yeah. Don't do that. See, why you want to be in a relationship in the first place? Have you made God number one, not number two? And then when you guys are together, are you better? Because if you're not better together, then you're worse. And worse is not as good as better. I don't know if you realize that, but worse is bad. And you don't want bad. See, if you bring out the worst in each other, you need to stop that. If the people around you hate you because you're together, you need to double check and think, I think this is bad because people don't like this. Look, if it's you and your girl against the world, you're gonna lose because there's only two of you. And I know we've all seen the zombie movies where, like, the few of them win, but that's not the way it would really play out. The zombie apocalypse comes, Everybody's dead, guys. Nobody's surviving that one, okay? Not that I believe in zombies. I'm just saying, theoretically. Don't quote me on that. But if you don't bring out the best in each other, then there's something wrong with the relationship. You love Jesus. Look, hey, but if your relationship pulls you away from your parents, there's a problem. I know Romeo and Juliet is really romantic, but they both died at the end of that story. See, that's not romantic. Romantic is you get old together, not cold together. All right? So don't do the Romeo and Juliet thing. See, the Bible says, oh man, that's just too good. Philippians 1:17, the Bible says this. Philippians 1:17 says this. But do the latter out of love, knowing I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. You see, the latter out of love. Let me go ahead and read a couple more verses here with you guys. Love is when you give of yourself for the betterment of someone else. If you do not bring out the best in the people around you, then your love is not really love. Real love makes the other person better. It says, these people, they preach Christ. They show people their love for Christ out of what selfish ambition? They're not sincere, and they add affliction to my chains. These latter people, the people who do it the right way, they do it out of love. They do it out of love. A sincere, real love does not tear people down. It builds people up. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, it says you need to learn how to control yourself so you don't take advantage of other people. There's three kinds of relationships a person can have. Maybe you heard this in biology. It's a symbiotic relationship. You guys ever heard of a symbiotic relationship? It's mutually beneficial. It's like the little birds that sit inside of the crocodile mouth, right? The little bird eats all the little goop out of the crocodile's teeth. And the crocodile's like, oh, cool. They're like brushing my teeth. It works for both of them. Crocodile doesn't bite the bird. The bird gets the food. Hey, it sounds good. Good for both people. Then there's a parasitic relationship. You guys know what a parasite is, right? It's where something has a host body. The mosquito is a parasite because it jumps on you and it gives you a disease and sucks your blood. And you know what you get out of the relationship? An itchy bump. Some of you guys are dating an itchy bump. Some of your friends, you know who I'm talking about, are dating an itchy bump. You don't need a mosquito. And then there's this one. This one is kind of fun to watch, but terrible to be in. There's a terminology called MADD. M-A-D-D. Mutually assured destruction. I forget what the other D is, but that don't matter. It's a war term. Mutually assured destruction. Oh, MADD, I'm sorry. M-A-D-D, that's Inspector Gadget. Never mind. All right. But there's this term, mutually assured destruction means that you're both terrible for each other, and you argue and throw things at each other, and then you think it's really good because you're like, oh, we just fight, and then we make up. No, that's dumb. No, that's dumb. We're just a really passionate relationship. We fight hard and then we love hard. No. See, that's dumb. That's dumb. That's called abusive. Right? It doesn't make it better if you both give each other black eyes. That doesn't make it better. If she makes you feel like trash and he makes you feel like trash, that's mutually assured destruction. And that's not what God says. God says esteem each other better. He says have self-control. If he cannot control his temper, you don't need him. If she loves to make you jealous, you deserve better. A person that thrives off of making other people jealous, a person that cannot be faithful, is a person you don't need in your life. As a parasite, or someone that's mutually assured to destroy you. Love is personal self-sacrifice. And if you cannot bring out the best in that person, then you bring out the worst. If you are not strong together, then you are weak together. And two weak people are guaranteed to fail. In marriage, in parenting, in loving each other, it just doesn't work. You see, if you're not ready to bring out the best in somebody, then you're not ready to be with them. If they're not ready to bring out the best in you, if you don't feel like you can have all your God-given dreams come true with them, then you have found the wrong person. And if you cannot bring that in somebody else and you're not ready if you're only worried about how you feel. You're not ready if you haven't put God first and you respect God more than you respect your opinion. And you are not ready if you don't know why you're even looking for a relationship in the first place. If you guys got anything out of God today, let's give him praise. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a shift real quick here because I did a lot of talking. Here's what I want to do is I believe the donuts are ready to be eaten right now. So I'm going to take a quick – we're going to take like a three-minute break real quick in 1 second. And then also, too, we're starting this off, and this is a hot topic.